Okay, so let's get started. So I want to discuss just how Rosh Hashanah is a day about reorienting ourselves with the trajectory of the world. We'll develop this theme through many different sources, and if there's any questions along the way, please feel free to ask, because these concepts are not necessarily going to be the easiest. So let's get started. So Zohar Kodesh, in this upcoming parsha, teaches, Atem nitzavim hayom. Hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So let's ask three questions on the Zohar. Question number one. What's the significance of the word nitzavim as opposed to the word omdim? I guess part and parcel of that question is, what does the word nitzavim mean? Question number two, what's the intent of the Zohar? Atem nitzavim hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. And then third, if you look in the beginning, we read in the Kriyas HaTorah earlier today, the parsha describes how every single Jewish person was there. As part of that Atem nitzavim hayom, every single Jewish person is part of the bris. So the question is, what's the significance of the fact that every single Jew, and the pasuk describes from the water carriers to those who cut the eitzim, those who cut the woodcutters, they also have to be a part of the bris. So let's start with the first question first. What's the significance of the word nitzavim? What's a nitziv in modern Hebrew? What's a nitziv? A pillar. Good. Well, what's the word omid mean?
Stand.
Omid means to stand. What's the difference between standing and a pillar? A pillar is ramrod straight. If you're standing, you're standing. What's the difference between ramrod straight and just standing? So let's give the following mashal. Imagine a person wants to travel 100 miles north, and you start just a little bit off, that you angle yourself just a little bit off, and you start walking. So at the beginning of your journey, are you going to notice that you're off? No. But 100 miles later, you're going to be completely off from where you want to be. So that's pshat. Atem nitzavim hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. If a person's not completely ramrod straight, a person's not completely aligned with where he's supposed to be, you're not going to notice that you're off at the beginning of the year. But when you're way down the year, when it's much later in the year, you're going to be completely off from the destination that you want to be. So Atem nitzavim hayom, specifically the Torah uses a lashon of nitzavim, ramrod straight, because in Rosh Hashanah we have to literally align ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we're just a little bit off, in the beginning of the year we might not notice that we're off, but at the end of the year we're going to be completely not where Hashem wants us to be. And that's the significance of the fact that the Torah includes every single Jewish person as part of the bris. Because when it comes to the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single Jew has their role to play, whether it be the woodcutter, whether it be the water carrier. And every single Jewish person has to realign and reorient themselves with the direction of the world and with what Hashem wants, in order to bring about Malchus HaShemayim in the most, right, in order to bring out the ultimate revelation of Malchus HaShemayim. Okay, good so far? Okay, so let's develop this point a little bit more. So the Maral explains that the significance of the beginning of something is that the beginning contains of it everything's essence. So for example, if a person wants to plant a tree, right, what's contained within the seeds is what's going to come about much later. So the same thing is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah is the root of everything, and a person, when they decide to get their year started off on the right foot, that enables everything else to subsequently come down the road. So if a person's not on the right trajectory on Rosh Hashanah itself, it's just setting a person up for failure much later down the road. So the main avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to reorient and realign ourselves with what Hashem wants us to do. And if this said, now we can understand the kasha that they like to say from Rav Yisrael Salanter, but all this time, they're about with the following question. Why is it that Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur? Right? If Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleanses us, so wouldn't it be better for us to be clean, not to have any sins, and then we'll be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it that we have a day of Malchus of Hashem when we're still sullied with sin, and then we get cleansed 10 days later? We should have the opposite. But based on everything we just said, it makes a lot of sense. Because in order for a person to get clean from their sins, they have to be on the right trajectory in order for that to happen. So on Rosh Hashanah, we specifically need to reorient ourselves in a tshuva mindset in order that when Yom Kippur happens, we're able to actually do tshuva. So the reason why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah is meant to be the day that allows us to align ourselves with the tshuva process into give us the foundations in order for us to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. And this is also this goes very nicely with the idea that the Ramban and the Maharal developed. The Ramban explains, and again, this week's Parsha, Parsha itself, and so the Ramban explains that the Bria, the world is going back to its state of Adam Rishon before he sinned. That there's a trajectory of the world, and the world is really, it's a circle, right? So Adam sinned. The world now is trying to go back to that original state of Adam Rishon. So Maharal explains its significance is that everything is trying to go back to its original root. Everything is trying to go back to its shoresh. So the same thing is true, not only is it true of the world, but when a person does tshuva, the Maharal explains that the significance of the mitzvah of tshuva is that a person's returning to his original root, a person's returning to his shoresh. That a person before, when Hashem created us, he created us without any sin. We're trying to return to the original state of ourselves before we sinned. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to align ourselves with the trajectory of the world. The same way the world's going back to its original state. Before there's sin in the world, we're trying to reorient ourselves, realign ourselves to be in a state before there is sin in our lives. So the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is the avoda of reorienting and realigning ourselves back with our original selves, which is one that didn't contain any chet or sin as a part of us. So far, so good? Okay. So let's explain a phenomenon we find in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Narayim Davening. So we add during the Nesayis Yimei Tshuva many phrases that make reference to Chaim, right? So for example, Zachreinu L'Chaim El Chafetz B'Chaim. And we add four phrases, there are two in the first two brachos and two in the last two brachos that specifically contain a reference to life, to Chaim. So the question is, what's the significance of this? Why is it, when we say that we're praying for life on Rosh Hashanah, what does that really mean? So Maharal explains that the significance of Chaim is not our physical life. Chaim, the Maharal explains, means eternity, Nitzchius. When we refer to Hashem as Elokim Chaim, Lamancha Elokim Chaim, what does that mean? Hashem is living? Obviously he's not living. Maharal explains that Chaim means eternity. So we're referring to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. And when Rosh Hashanah, when we add these phrases to davening, what we're davening for, we're not davening for life in this physical world. What the intention of the tefillah is that we're davening to be connected to the Makor Chaim. We're davening to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only source of eternity in this world. And when we daven for Chaim, we're davening to be connected back to Him. Because Adam Arishon, before he sinned, there was no Misa, right? Before Adam sinned, there was no death. Once Adam sinned, he brought death into the world. What was the difference between the two points? So the Sfarim explained that before Adam Rishon sinned, he was completely connected to Hashem. When a person is completely connected to Hashem, it's not possible for a person to die, because Hashem is eternal. When a person is connected to Hashem, they're also eternal. So when we daven for Chaim and Rosh Hashanah, what we're davening for is to return back to the original state of Adam Rishon when he lived forever because he was completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we're asking for in Rosh Hashanah. We're asking to be a part of the eternity of creation. And I'll develop this idea, what it means that we want to be written in the Sefer Chaim. So in order to understand what it means when we ask for the request to be written in the Sefer Chaim, we're going to have to understand just another question. Why is the day of Rosh Hashanah called Yom HaZikaron? It's very, very strange. What do we call the holiday of Pesach? Chag HaMatzah is good. What's the mitzvah of Pesach? Matzah. What do we call Chag HaSukkos? Oh, okay, I said the... Right, Chag HaSukkos. What's the mitzvah in Sukkos? Sukkah. What do we call Rosh Hashanah? Yom HaZikaron. What's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar. So why are we calling the day Yom HaZikaron? You hear the kasha? So Rav Lipianski likes to explain it. I think this is it's a very deep point, which we'll try to flesh out. Okay, so Yom HaZikaron. What does the word Zikaron literally mean? It means memory. So in psychology, if I'm not mistaken, for all those who are psychology majors, you can correct me, that there's two types of memory. There's a technical memory. So for example, a person wakes up in the middle of the night, remembers how to go to the bathroom, had to walk to the bathroom. But that's not like an inherent part of him. But then on top of that, there's a fundamental memory, which a person, where core events of a person's life, a person retains it because they're a part of their identity. Am I correct? No? I think in Kahneman, right? Dan, for Thinking Fast and Slow, I think Daniel Kahneman discusses there's two mindsets of there's like what?
It works. Yeah.
No?
It works.
All right, whatever. Okay, so I'm not 100% accurate about this. But Kitzer, but there's two forms of memory. Right? There's a technical memory, which things are not really part of a person's existence, but like they happens to remember, and then there's things that are part of a person's core existence, and then he remembers because they're part of a person's core existence. So, for example, a person remembers the day he got married. It's not shot. Oh, like he happens to remember it. No, because the day he got married is like an inherent part of him, so therefore he remembers it. So, when it comes to memory, though, what's unique about the human memory? Right. So, the human memory is able to filter out things that it doesn't want to remember. So things that are not a core essential part of us, we forget. Right? Anything that's really true and we really care about becomes a part of our existence. So when we call Rosh Hashanah Yom HaZikaron, we're referencing the fact that the day is one of memory, because the same way the human memory is able to filter out things that are not important, that are trivial, and able to retain things that are inherent to a person's existence, the same thing is true of Kadosh Baruch Hu does to us in Rosh Hashanah. That Hashem filters out the non-important events in our lives and the things that are not a part of our existence. And only the things that really define us are remembered. So we tend to think about things as either good or bad, but there's really a third category. There's things that are just meaningless. So the same way a person forgets meaningless things that he does, the same thing is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. That Hashem filters out the meaningless things that we do, they're not recorded in the Sefer HaChaim. Right? Eventually, there's going to be a day when there's going to be a Sefer, that the Sefer Zichronis is going to contain all the events that led up to the final Gula. So a person's mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim are going to be recorded. They're an inherent part of the person. They're going to be recorded for eternity. The non-important parts of a person, they're going to be filtered away. So if a person wants to be written in the Sefer HaChaim, when we talk about the Sefer HaChaim Tosfos, the Rishonim explain, right, the Sakasha, the Gemara says that Tzadikim are inscribed immediately in the Sefer HaChaim. Rishayim are immediately inscribed in Sefer HaMesim. And Beinonim are given a 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to like either do tshuva. If they do tshuva, they're written in the Sefer HaChaim. If they don't do tshuva, then they're written in the Sefer HaMesim. So let me just ask a simple question. Rishonim are bothered by this. So you're going to tell me a person dies in that year, so that's like retroactively reveals the fact that they were a Rasha, or they're a Beinoni? And when Tzadikim dies, does that mean that they're not really Tzadikim? No, because the Rishonim explained that when we refer to the Sefer HaChaim, we're not referring to life in this world. We're referring to eternal life. We're referring to the Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer that's, Chaim, as we said, it means Nitzchias. The Sefer that's recording our actions for Olam Haba, the Sefer that's going to record our actions, whatever our actions are going to be a permanent part of the history of the world. And in Rosh Hashanah, we have the choice to either align ourselves with the trajectory of the world, the trajectory of the Nitzchias of the Bria, in the sense that Hashem, right, Hashem's Nitzchi and the world that he created is a part of him, so therefore it's also eternal. We can either choose to be a part of that, or we could be filtered away and be written in the Sefer HaMesim. When we refer to the Sefer HaMesim, it doesn't mean a person's physical death. We're referring to the fact that a person's existence is just meaningless, that they're not going to be recorded down in the Sefer, which is going to last for the eternity of the world. Is this... Okay, yeah.
Why do the Aseret mean Tshuva? Like, why does that mean anything for us to hear then?
Why does that mean?
Like, why is that the set the tone for the rest of the year? Meaning, you could change your ways in the Aseret Tshuva, but then the rest of the year you're just doing meaningless things.
No. So first of all, the Aseret Tshuva are it's a twofold, right? It's a recap from everything in the previous year, and it's also meant to guide you for the following year. So yeah, if a person doesn't do tshuva, so yeah, that then a person's going to do meaningless things, and they're not going to be recorded in the Sefer Chaim. But for a person's significance, the mitzvah of tshuva, what the mitzvah of tshuva has the ability to do, is that it has the ability to go back to the past. It undoes the past, and all the events, all the averos, and all the forget averos, just the meaningless things that a person did in his life in the previous year, he's able to turn them into mitzvos, into mitzvos, and those will also be recorded in the Sefer HaChaim. The Rav Tzadok, the Sfarim explain, right? The Chazal teach that Gedola Tshuva, about Tshuva Me'ava turns intentional sins into Tzchuyos. So the Sfarim explain that why is it that a Baal Tshuva is on a higher, why is it that the person's sins become Tzchuyos? Because it's only through the person's sins that he is able to reach the level that he's at now. So when a person does tshuva during this time period, I mean, any time of the year, what's happening is that all the bad things that person did allowed the person to reach the high level that he's at. And therefore, they're also written down for mitzvahs. So the significance of the mitzvah of tshuva that we're supposed to be doing now in this time period is that we're able to turn all the meaningless events, we're able to turn all the bad things that we did this previous year into merits, and that'll also be written down in the Sefer HaChaim as part of the trajectory of the world. And as we said, right, Rosh Hashanah is a day that we're connecting back to the past. The significance of the mitzvah of tshuva is that it eclipses time, right? A person's able to go back in time and essentially redefine himself. Rosh Hashanah is a day that we're reconnecting back to the very origins of creation. We're reconnecting back to the day that Adam HaRishon was created. In the same way, on Rosh Hashanah, we're reconnecting back to how Adam was created. We're going back in time. That's what the mitzvah of tshuva is doing as well. Good? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's Yom HaZikaron, that Zikaron is an inherent part of the day. The memory has the ability to filter out trivial events. That's what's happening in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, what's happening is that the trivial parts of a person's life are evaporating away, and a person's mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim being recorded in the Sefer HaChaim for eternity. And a person essentially has a choice to either be a part of the trajectory of the world that's going in the direction of Sefer HaChaim, or you could, unfortunately, choose otherwise. We'll get to the role of the shofar. The role of the shofar is to reawaken the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kari HaZikaron. The role of the shofar is able to, we'll get to what the role of the shofar is, but it's
like, what the sukkah is to sukkah is not what the shofar is to Rosh Hashanah. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, sort of. Hopefully we'll elaborate upon what the mitzvah of shofar is in a few minutes. Alan, do you have a...
I did, but I think you just touched on it. Okay, good, okay.
Fine, and then just with all of this in mind, we can also just ask another, we can answer up a very fundamental question that Sister Chaim Rav Chaim Friedlander addresses, and poses the following question. Well, let's give an example, right? So when are finals administered in NYU? At the end of the semester or like the first day of school the next year?
Both.
So the what?
Both?
Well, yeah, it's a backup. Yeah.
It's a backup.
Yeah.
Okay. For most students, the finals are administered instead at the very end of the semester. So it gets a very simple question. If Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, why is it the first day of the world? First day of the year? Wouldn't it make more sense for the Yom HaDin to be the last day, the final, the culmination of the previous year? Why is it that the Yom HaDin is specifically the first day of the upcoming year? But based on everything we just said, I think we can answer. Because the purpose of the Yom HaDin Rosh Hashanah, it's not just the buildup of everything that happened the previous year, but it's also meant to guide us for the upcoming year. And in that sense, we want it to be the start, the first day of the year. Because Rosh Hashanah is meant to be the day, Atem Nitzav Meyom, is meant to be the day that's guiding us the rest of the year. So specifically through the fact that we're aware of the din, that it guides us in the right direction. So we specifically want it to be on the first day of the year, not the last day of the year. Because this din is not like a final. I mean, it's not like a school final where it's just the culmination of everything that occurred previously. It's also building our future. So we want it to be... So Rosh Hashanah is the end of the previous year, but it's also really the start of an upcoming year. Okay, good. Okay, so with this in mind, now let's try to understand just some of the... Let's just try to understand what Tfilas Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is all about and how all of these ideas that we've discussed relate to Tfilas Musaf. So we spoke about in the previous few weeks ago that Rav Yosef Albo explains that there's three fundamental beliefs in our religion. So Rav Yosef Albo took the 13 principles of the Rambam, and he broke them up into the three fundamental beliefs. So they are Metzias Hashem, belief in God, belief in Hashem's Hashkacha, and then belief in Torah, and the fact that Torah is divine. And Rav Yosef Albo explains that the brachos of Shemona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah correspond to each of these three beliefs. So Malchios corresponds to belief in God. Zichronos corresponds to the fact that Hashem is Hashkacha, Hashem is intervening in the world. And then Shofros, we're at the Shofros section of Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the belief in Torah. In the structure of Tefillas Musaf, it's like every single bracha in the middle section of Tefillas Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, it's a three-part structure. So let's just go over basic structure of the Tefillah. So what happens? At the beginning part of the bracha, we kind of state what the bracha is all about. So for example, the beginning part of the bracha of Malchus, we talk about Malchus of Hashem. Then we cite 10 psukim, that three from Torah, three from Tehillim, three from Nevim, one pasuk from the Torah that reaffirm, that support that belief. So 10 pesukim that talk about Malchus of Hashem throughout Tanakh. And then there's the chasima, this concluding part of the bracha, which is a request for the future, or a request of Hashem, right? It's a request that like Hashem's Malchus will be perceived in the entire world. And the same thing is true of Sichronos. We talk about how the beginning part of the bracha talks about how Hashem remembers everything. Then we cite 10 pesukim from Tanakh that support the fact that Hashem remembers everything. Then we talk about the fact that we want Hashem to be Zocher, Bris, etc., etc. So what are we doing during this Tefillas Musaf from Rosh Hashanah? So in one aspect, what we're doing is we're re-accepting upon ourselves the fundamental beliefs of our religion. As we said earlier, Rav Yosef Albo thinks that Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros contain within it the three most, he boils down the 13 principles of faith of the realm to three. And in Rosh Hashanah, what we're essentially doing during the Tefillas Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is that we're re-accepting upon ourselves those fundamental beliefs. And as we said earlier, the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to realign, reorient ourselves with the purpose and trajectory of the world. So obviously, the core fundamental beliefs of our religion are key to that. So on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be accepting upon ourselves those beliefs. And with this in mind, also, we can explain the order of the psukim through the tefillah on Musaf. So let's just point this out. What's the seder of the psukim during the tefillah Musaf section on Rosh Hashanah, during Malchus and Shofar section? So how's it go? First, we have three psukim from what? From Torah. Then we have three psukim from Sivim, from Sefer Tehillim. Then we have three psukim from Nevim. Now the cash holds we show in Bavadai is we're going out of order. Shouldn't we go three psukim of Torah, three psukim of Nevim, and three psukim of Ksuvim? Why is it that we're going specifically out of order? We got three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, then we're going back to Nevim. Now, you hear the question? This is the Rishonim of Bavadai this. So if Sadok Cohen explains, Rav Salavitchik, Sarav Salavitchik said the same chat. If you know Rav Sadok and Salavitchik said the same chat, that it's probably true. So they both explain that the significance of the order is that we're going past, present, and future. Torah is the past. Ksuvim, specifically Sefer Tehillim, right? The pesukim that we cite in the Ksuvim section of the Shemona Esrei and Musaf are specifically from Sefer Tehillim, which David and Malchus is speaking in the present. And then we cite three psukim from Nevi'im that talk about the future. So what's the point? As we said all along, Rosh Hashanah, there's a trajectory to the world. Right? The world is going from past, present, and future. On Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing is we're accepting our belief, we're reaffirming our belief in that Malchus and the Sichronos and Shofros, that it exists in the past of the world, exists in the presence of the world, in the current moment, and also exists in the future. It's the future of the world. So essentially what we're doing is we're putting ourselves within the trajectory of the world. On Rosh Hashanah, we recognize the fact that the world is a world of Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros. And we're throwing ourselves in the middle of that trajectory by accepting upon ourselves our belief in the Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros. Good? And what's the final pasuk, though? What's the final pasuk in the Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros section? We go back to one pasuk of Chumash. Why? So my friend Yair Kaplan, very beautiful pshat, he told me, pshat is, they're connecting all the way back to the beginning. As he said earlier from the Ramban, right, the world is connecting back to its state before of Adam Rishon, before its sin. So what do we have? We have three psukim from Torah past, then we have three psukim of Nevi'im, of Ksuvim present, then we have three psukim of Nevi'im future, Then we have one pasuk in the Torah, which is connecting back to the past, because that's the trajectory of the world, right? We're connecting all the way back to the past. And the point is that we're reaffirming the fact that our beliefs, right, they're the bridge between the past, present, future, but the future is really just connecting all the way back to the past, because we're connecting back to the roots of creation. That's an offending your cap I wanted to explain. I think it's a very it's a very beautiful chat. Okay, and this is now with all this being said, let's just understand a bit of the significance of Tekiah Shofar that we do in Rosh Hashanah. So this is also a very important point. So the Ramchal explains that there's three significant Tekiah Shofars in the history of the world. So Tekiah Shofar number one was at Matan Torah. Tekiah Shofar number three is in the future. And then the significant middle Tekiah Shofar that we're emphasizing in Rosh Hashanah is the current Tekiah Shofar that we're doing. And the Ramchal explains that Matan Torah, what Matan Torah did is it injected good into the world. Lasi level in the future, the purpose of the Tekiah Shofar is to get rid of bad in the world. And what we're doing is when we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we're blowing shofar that we're adding a little good, like in Matan Torah. It's also kind of eclipsing what's going to happen in the future to get rid of a little bit of bad. So Ramchal explains that we're throwing ourselves within the trajectory of the world by blowing shofar, and our shofar blasts are a miniature version of the shofar blast that were heard at Har Sinai, because we're bringing goodness into the world. And it's also a miniature version of the shofar blasts which are going to be in the future, because it's also somewhat of a siluk ra. And I think this idea of the Ramchal fits very nicely with everything that we just said previously, that the entire idea of Rosh Hashanah is all about reorienting and realigning ourselves with the trajectory of the world. So we're specifically, our shofar blasts in Rosh Hashanah are part of the trajectory of the world. We're throwing ourselves into the trajectory of the world. And our decision in Rosh Hashanah is to be a part of the trajectory, the significant trajectory of the world, right? The trajectory of the world that's going from one of Har Sinai to the one of Lasid Lavo. And we do that by specifically doing our avoda, which is blowing shofar and recognizing Hashem's malchus in Rosh Hashanah. So let's just I'll just add a ha'ara to this, because I think it's important. So it's interesting. So Sassamus, we quote from Sassamus a few weeks ago, that the Sassamus explains that why is it that we blow tekiah trua tekiah? So Sassamus explains that tekiah, the first tekiah is an allusion to Adam Rishon before he sinned, where everything was perfect. Then trua, Adam Rishon sinned, and we have like the messed up world that we're currently in. And then the final tekiah is the tekiah that we're going here in the future, which is going back to the state of Adam Harishon before he sinned. That's what the Sas Emes explains. This is the significance of tekiah, true tekiah. So according to the Sas Emes, though, so what's the current state that we're in right now? Right, we're in the trua. Yeah, exactly. We're in the stage of the trua. So how are we supposed to understand the fact that we're in the trua stage? We're in the kind of messed up stage. So the Sas point out, the Rishon, sorry, already point out, what's the shorish of the word trua? What's trua shorish of? Reus. Now what's Reus? Friendship, closeness. So let's explain this idea. So Chazal teach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world by destroying many worlds. And then after he destroyed many worlds, he eventually created this world. So what's Napshat and what is Pshat? So what's Napshat is that Hashem messed up many times and then eventually created this world. That's Napshat. The correct pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built this world in a way that specifically through destruction, specifically through messing up, comes growth. So specifically through the fact that we're in the truest stage, we're in the stage of the turmoil, only that is able to lead to the final tekiah. That only that is able to lead to growth. And true is a lashon of reyus because Hashem is close to us through this stage. That even though despite the fact that things don't look so good, it's a complete disarray, it's things don't look, we don't understand what's going on, but specifically through the trua, specifically through the broken sounds, are we able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the reyos. Okay, so I have 8 more minutes. I can hold it here and do a sum up, or we could go for a few more minutes. What was the?
Can you do both?
What?
You do both?
Okay, you want to do both? Okay, fine. So, let's just sum everything up because we've discussed a lot of points, which it's important to get these ideas in. So essentially what we said, that the purpose, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, is reorienting and realigning with the trajectory of the world. and that the start of something determines everything that's going to subsequently come. So Rosh Hashanah, when we daven for Chaim, what we're really asking for is to be connected to the Makor Chaim. We're asking to be connected to Hashem. And the significance of the Zichronos, the Sefer Zikaron and Rosh Hashanah, is that the Sefer Zikaron, the Sefer Zichronos contains within it the actions that are permanent, the actions that are Nitzchi. Right? Nitzchi is also Chaim, as we said. And we are writing ourselves, I didn't make this point earlier, I'll make this now, it's very, very, very important. When we say that Hashem is writing us to Sefer Chaim, it's true, but really the decision's up to us. Every single person is given the decision to write themselves on the Sefer Chaim or not. In other words, a person can either do tshuva and maisim tovim and write himself into the book of the eternity of the world, or a person cannot do that, and a person could choose to write himself essentially into the Sefer Amavis. When the Sefer Chaim is being opened up in Rosh Hashanah, it's not as if Hashem is writing in, he's filling in what we're determining to do. Right? It's up to us to decide whether we want our actions to be a part of the trajectory of the world or not. And the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah emphasize the trajectory of the world. The tefillos Musaf of Rosh Hashanah emphasizes the three core beliefs of our religion, the belief in Hashem, the belief in Hashem's hashgacha in this world, and the belief in Torah. We're linking that up to that. We're linking up to the beliefs in both the past, present, and future, recognizing the fact that this is the core of the world, and we want to be a part of it. And that's also the significance of our shofar blast, that we're linking up to the shofar blast of the past and the shofar blast of the future, and we're showing the fact that we want to be a part of the shofar, be a part of the trajectory of the world. Okay, so maybe we'll go for 5 more minutes, and Yeah, okay, there's one more very important point which I just want to bring out because this is a very, very important insight for the day. So, the Chazal have 3 different sources for reciting the 10 psukim of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros in Rosh Hashanah. So, source number 1 is the Asar Mamaros, the 10 utterances that Hashem said when he created the world. Source number 2 is the Asar Sadibros, the 10 commandments. And then source number 3 is the 10 Halukas, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Dafan Beis. So what's the significance? Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains that there's no machlokes here. There's no machlokes between these 3 sources and that all 3 of them are true. So let's just say over. What are these 3 time periods? When is the time period of the Asar Mamaros? That's Brias Olam. Asar Sadibros, Matan Torah. And then Asar Halukos, the last 10 Halukos in Sefer Tehillim, that's the future, Lasid Lavo. So the Sfarim already point out that there's 3 main time periods in the history of the world. There's creation of man, Har Sinai, and then the world in the future. And we find this in other places as well. So, for example, Shabbos davening. What's Shabbos Friday night davening all about? Ma'is Bereishis. What's Shabbos Shachris all about? Yismach. Yeah, exactly. And what's Shabbos Mincha all about? Lasid Lavo. There's three important time periods in creation. In Rosh Hashanah, we emphasize all of these 3 time points of creation. Rosh Hashanah, we emphasize the creation of man. We emphasize Har Sinai throughout davening, and we also emphasize what the world is going to be back in the future. Because the point is that it's a trajectory. We'll explain this point. That when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and the year as a whole, there's 3 components. There's the Machshava, Chabad Chassidus, right? There's the Chochma Bina Medas. There's the initial spark, then there's the plan, and then there's the execution of the plan. So one example of this, we find Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. Rosh Hashanah is the plan of the world. Sorry, Rosh Hashanah is the initial spark. A person's supposed to be aroused to do tshuva. On Yom Kippur, a person's supposed to come up with a plan of tshuva. And Sukkos is meant to be the execution of that plan. Right? Machshava, Chofar is a person supposed to re-arouse a person's Machshava. Dibor, the Vidor in Yom Kippur is our speech. Then Maisa, Sukkos, is taking the lulav and singing the Sukkah, etc. And the same thing is true about these 3 core time periods in creation. That creation of the world is the initial spark. Matan Torah is the plan. And then Lasid Lavo, the future, is the realization of that plan. Because the significance of Lasid Lavo, throughout the Rosh Hashanah davening, we always talk about what's going to be like in the future. and the significance of what's going to be out in Imos HaMashiach in the future is that's going to be the realization of Matan Torah, in the sense that Torah Har Sinai is going to become a reality. The Torah Samincha points out that Har Sinai, we heard, what does it say in the Aseres Dibros? L'Tirtzach, which means what? It means you shall not steal. But there's another way of reading it. The Torah Samincha explains that there's really, you also can understand that you will not steal. That in the future, the Torah is going to be such a reality that it's not going to be, we're going to realize the Torah is true, that it's not going to be for us to decide whether to follow it or not. Torah is going to be a mitzias. It's going to be mitzias, and Lasi Lavo is going to be the kium of Har Sinai. So specifically in Rosh Hashanah, which is all about the trajectory of the world, it's all about the main time points in the world, we're emphasizing both the time of creation of man, Adam, which happened on Rosh Hashanah. Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. We emphasize Matan Torah because that was the purpose of the world. This is the plan of the world. And then we emphasize Lasi Lavo because Lasi Lavo is going to be the ultimate kium of Matan Torah. It's going to be in existence of the entire world fulfilling the Torah. And the world is going to be an entire mitzias of Torah, which is the ultimate kium of the Bria, which, as we said in the very beginning, we're connecting back to Adam Rish and Kohen Machet. Adam Rish and Kohen Machet was when he's completely connected to Hashem. Is completely Ruchnius world, which is where we're headed to in the future. We're connecting back to the very past, where Adam Rishon is completely connected to Hashem, and in the future, that's going to be our state again. B'mheira b'yameinu. Okay.